The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. So welcome to this edition of the Stockhead Rock Talk. Today we're going to be talking with independent analyst Nigel Maude. And now Nigel has a long history working in the mostly in the hard rock industry, but a short stint in soft rock as well, starting as I did in Central and Southern Africa and working his way through gold and various base metal operations in Australia and Western Africa. But today we'd like to really get into the nitty-gritty of the Pilbara gold experience, because we've had a bit of a boom there in the Pilbara area. Initially, companies went up there looking for conglomerate gold. There was sort of interest in that, but it didn't really come to anything. But what we're seeing now on the back of results from a couple of companies up there is quite a bit of interest in that area. And I think Nigel's got quite a bit of an interest in that area, knows the area well. So welcome to the podcast, Nigel.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Peter. I'm looking forward to it.
So, Nigel, just tell us briefly about your role, your wandering through the mining industry over the past sort of 30-odd years and what's brought you here to Australia now.
Well, I started out in Southern Africa working for Falconbridge in base metal exploration in Namibia, and then subsequently in the Northern Transvaal in nickel exploration. And then I changed companies, went to Lonro, which owned a portfolio of about 12 underground mines in Zimbabwe, which was then known as Rhodesia, and was a resident mine geologist on their second largest mine, which was the Arcturus mine, where I discovered several ore bodies, and then went on to the Royal School of Mines to do a master's degree in 1977-78. And subsequently joined BP Minerals and was working in Europe in uranium exploration prior to being sent to Olympic Dam.
Uh-huh.
Firstly as project geologist and then subsequently as senior geologist for the project for BP, and undertook most of the research on the deposit and the helping with the calculation of ore resources.
And so what's brought the Pilbara region to your attention?
Well, I've been working off and on mostly in Western Australia for the past nearly 30 years, most of it in the Yilgarn province and very little in the Pilbara. I've been up to the Pilbara a couple of times because there were some old deposits there like Bamboo Creek, Paulsens, which I looked at back in 1988. Gold was discovered in the bedrock in the Pilbara back in 1888, which was pretty early on. And really the Pilbara, the bedrock of the Pilbara has produced moderate discoveries at best. And most of them have been almost sub-economic to marginally economic. Partly
yes,
because of metallurgical issues. And the other thing is because the deposits themselves, the grades were not all that impressive.
So oxides and often some alluvial golds there back in the 80s as well.
Yes, indeed. And in actual fact, most of the recent excitement in the Pilbara was started by Nova Resources in about 4 or 5 years ago with their identification of nugget gold in conglomerates, which they thought were similar to the Witwatersrand in South Africa. So that caused a flurry of activity. But that's died down now because patently it's not another Witwatersrand. But no. I think there will be some economic deposits that will be worked there, but they won't be all that large.
So recently, Nigel, we've had De Grey really forging ahead. They would for quite a while they were working on Tauarana and the Withnell deposit, which had been mined before. But these were sort of 500,000 ounces to 800,000 ounces at something sub 2 grams a ton. Sort of interesting, but not quite you know, the balloon, not quite the prize. So how does Hemi change the landscape there?
Well, all the deposits you've just mentioned, Wivnall, Taurana, Malina, with a combined total resource of about 2.2 million ounces of about 1.8 grams per ton. They're classic, if you like, shear-hosted, complex shear-hosted load deposits, and often in stacked lenses, which are not all that wide. And so you've got a fair bit of dilution in there. I don't know how much dilution, but overall, as you rightly say, the grade, not all that impressive, at around 1.8 grams for the 2.2 million ounces. And even underground, Wivnall has got an underground resource of 2.5 million tons at around 3.9, which is not too bad. But it depends, again, on the mining width, and that's for about 300,000 odd ounces.
The dilution, when you've got such uncertain geometry, can be the real killer for projects.
Well, it can, and it depends very much upon the gold price as to how much dilution you can afford to take. I think De Grey sort of, it was not an exciting stock, and that's why they've had to issue so much in the way of scrip to finance their exploration until the discovery of Hemi. Now, I mean, bearing in mind that the Pilbara has languished in exploration largely because of recent alluvial cover, which has obscured the geology completely for the explorers. And even advances in technology like improved aeromagnetics, radiometrics, all this sort of thing, it hasn't made an atom of difference. So people have had to literally go out there and drill in the hopes of picking up something under this cover, which is up to, varies from, let's say, 5 meters up to 40 odd meters thick. And it's a bit daunting if you're relying on aeromagnetics to target, yeah?
So now that Hemi has been drilled and they're starting to get, you know, intersections more like 5, 8, and 10 grams a ton there over some serious widths, which really changes the whole landscape.
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, the interesting thing about Hemi is that it's intrusion hosted rather than sediment hosted, which is the case with all the other deposits which De Grey have got. And this is extremely interesting because it bears direct comparison to the Yamana belt of Gold Road Resources Gruyere project. Yeah. So there is direct comparison between it, albeit that Hemi has got double or triple the grade.
Yeah.
Now, there are three shoots or mineralized intrusive bodies that De Grey has so far defined, and they're named after Australian birds. One is Brolga, there's a Quilla to the north of that, and then immediately north of that again, there's Crow. The two higher grade lenses or intrusives, hosted bodies, are Brolga and Aquila, and their grades are looking impressive, as you rightly said.
Yeah, so the metallurgy, do you know if there's been much in the way of metallurgy? Because I know you talked about what's happened there with the Gruyere deposit. The gold, even though it's fairly low grade and very hard ore body, the gold just falls out of it in a gravity circuit.
Well, it's a very good question because I haven't seen any metallurgical reports or evidence of metallurgical reports from De Grey at the moment, because I think it's pretty early on in the evaluation of Hemi, because they're learning all the time about this deposit. They discovered it best part of a year ago, and it's really shaping up to be pretty large. I mean, the drilling to the southwest of the Brolga, the original Brolga discovery, has identified a further zone of mineralization in the same body, over 1,000 meters and 200 meters of width.
So they're going to go there, and you know, they're fairly well funded now. They've got a fantastic lineup on their board of directors. And they'll go and just spend, you know, $5 or $10 million to drill it out and do feasibility work over the next year and a half, I'd imagine.
Well, I think so. And the other thing is that they'll start doing met test work once they start doing diamond drilling, because then they can get the core to put through the met labs and get a decent pilot study done on the recoveries.
Yeah, and also they get the hardness and all the other rock dynamics that they'll need. So there's also been a few sort of wannabes or people using the neurology, if you like, coming up there. We've got Karyos and Kazion, Kazion at their Croydon project and Karyos at their Mount York project. They're all looking to be the sort of the next one off the block, I guess, up there.
Well, I'm not so quite so sure they're the same as Hemi, because Hemi bears a lot more similarities to Gruyere in the Yamana belt, because it's an I think my initial impression from what little has been said about the geology and from the piece of core that De Grey put in one of their releases is it looks to me very much like a reduced intrusive related gold project, in which the bulk of the gold mineralization is contained within the intrusive body, although there is mineralization in the metasediments on either flank of the intrusives. But this is very, very exciting, because it's an actual real game changer for the belt. It's a major game changer, because the potential size of the Hemi deposit will completely dwarf all the others.
Yeah, I think that's what the market's cottoned onto, and that's why the share price has performed so well, because it's a different style. It's not, as you say, that sediment-hosted low-grade material which might have leaked out of an intrusive. This is actually the intrusive-hosted sort of stuff you see very, very clearly at Gruyere. And I was up there. It's a sort of 2.1 kilometer long zone, and at its greatest width, it's about 140 meters wide, just solid intrusive full of gold. So pretty easy. Mining is much more like quarrying than you know.
Strip ratio, that's the beauty of it, Peter. There's a very low strip ratio, so they can afford to mine. Their sort of average grade is around 1.1 to 1.2 grams per ton. But one has to remember what's being discovered at Hemi at the moment is grades considerably better than that. And moreover, I think, and they've said that they can go off an open pit and probably decline into this ore body. Well, they're absolutely right. I mean, there are ore shoots in there of plus 4 grams per ton easily, probably 5-6 grams per ton on the average, which will enable them to and given the sort of mineralized whips, they'll be able to engage in more mass mining techniques underground, which will make the whole project more cost effective.
Yeah, so by the end of this calendar year, we will have a lot more data from the company, and we'll be able to sit here with a little bit more expertise to determine, you know, how big this open pit's going to be, what sort of underground mining techniques and technologies will be involved. Will it go to the center of the earth? You know,
that's a Robert Friedland comment that was made at the Kalgoorlie Diggers and Dealers.
Yeah.
Or you told Roy. But look, I mean, no deposit goes more. I mean, these deposits can go for a couple of thousand meters. There's nothing to stop them in the Archean rocks doing that. And that's well documented in the case of Canadian mines and in some of the Australian mines. Some of these things have gone quite deep. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're getting back to the others. Nova Resources are still there at Beaton's Creek. It's a different style of mineralization, as you were saying. And the other one in the area is Calidus at their Warrawoona project, which is, again, about a 1.2 million ounces, fairly low grade. Yeah. I mean, it could make the grade, but it's certainly no Hemi.
That's right. I mean, it's a shear hosted system, very much similar to, in some ways, to some of the other, some of De Grey's other projects, albeit that I think the other deposits that you've discussed are in the mafics.
Yeah.
So look, I mean, the beauty of Hemi is that it's got the, no one knows its potential size at the moment. And my guess is that given Hemi's potential from what we've seen so far, it seems highly likely to me that De Grey is going to rapidly pass the 100 tons of gold inventory and probably head towards around about 5 million ounces with a deposit like this.
Yeah, I think that's what the market is sort of saying, that if they keep on drilling, it, you could already put the glasses down on 2 million ounces and probably another two or three down the track. So it's going to be an interesting time for them. Yeah. The next thing, of course, for them will be to determine how they finance the development. And given that it's a fairly isolated part of the world, although it's fairly close to the infrastructure that's now along the Pilbara coast, there's ports, there's power up there, there's access potentially to liquefied natural gas, either as trucked in or piped in gas to produce power. You know, it's not too far away from a road. And I think that, you know, the other thing they'll have to do is to secure some water and make themselves cyclone resistant, you know, because it is in a you know, the weather up there in the the cyclone season can be quite devastating.
Yeah, look, that's a very good point, because there's excellent infrastructure obviously around Port Hedland and Karratha, but once you get into the Hemi district, they're going to have to put a fair bit of infrastructure in there. But the potential for this particular deposit could be well in the order of 3 to 5 million ounces on its own.
Yeah.
And so Nigel, the others, huh?
Nigel, in that area, there's also sort of inland from Karratha, certainly, there's quite a bit of VMS mineralization, very high grades of silver, some lead and zinc. We've, you know, got the Wim Creek sort of projects. Perhaps Hemi could be a bit of a catalyst to get a little bit more going there in the base metal and the silver type deposits as well.
Well, I wholeheartedly agree. And also, one has to remember that the parallel to the Molina Shear, which is controlling all of De Grey's projects or has been had a big, very big influence on their emplacement, you've got the Shoal Shear, which defines the northern margin of the Molina Basin in which all the De Grey deposits occur. You've got Golden State Resource Golden State Mining, GSM, is just about to commence a 10,000-meter air core program in July. And they've got one target. Their first target it's got a very similar aeromagnetic signature to the Hemi deposit. So I think that's exciting in itself. The rest are more like more conventional Yilgarn or the other De Grey type targets, which are now, you know, drilled out as deposits, yeah?
Yeah.
But they're more shear-hosted regimes. But this particular one, this one target at Yule South that Golden State Mining has got, looks particularly interesting as a Hemi analogue, yeah?
Well, so long as the gold price hangs in there at above 2,500 Aussies per ounce and the copper price continues to move up towards, I think it's about $2.67 US a pound at the moment. And I think probably over the long term, we probably see the price back up to $3.30 or so sometime towards the end of next year. COVID-19, you know, issues to the side. I think, you know, we're in for a pretty interesting time up in the Pilbara. And Nigel, I'd be delighted if in a couple of months' time you come in again and we can chew the fat over some of these projects, not just in the Pilbara, but some of the other exciting areas that are developing around the countryside and even back towards South Australia, which is your old stomping ground there with Olympic Dam.
Well, that's right. I mean, I was logged a lot of the core for what was called the Stuart Shelf Program, which was all the targets around Olympic Dam. And there's been major discoveries by BHP Billiton. There's one at Island Dam, which is very exciting. And of course, you've had Carrapateena discovered, which is now going in, I think, must
block
be
caving.
Yeah, block caving operation. And there's several more targets. ME Bluff. There's a whole bunch of them, which most of them are controlled by BHP Billiton.
So Nigel, we'll leave those for a later day. But thank you once again for coming in today to talk to us here at Stockhead, and we'll look forward to seeing you back on the stage in a couple of months' time.
Pleasure, Peter. Thank you.